Okay, David, well, thanks very much for letting me come to Pond House. Can you just fill us in on how many inmates you've got and staff, etc., before we start, please?
I'd say we'll probably end up with about 80 horses this season. We've got about 35 staff on site, when you include gallops people, secretaries, and the lads and girls that look after the horses. So it's a fairly big setup for the Southwest.
Okay, so you were... you were born into a already established yard. What are your earliest memories about being around Pond House?
Probably knocking down the wall where my mum and dad live at present. Not many horses around at the time. There was more greyhounds in the stables because my grandfather used to run the dog track at Taunton. It was actually on the Somerset County Cricket Ground, and he used to run the dog track there as well. And then suddenly the greyhounds started disappearing and more horses started turning up.
Did you still go along to the dogs?
That was before, it was before I was old enough, so I'd love to have been round in those days. I wish there was a dog track round here nowadays. Hang on, bump. On Rouge in front, Julie B on board, the girl that looks after him. She's just started back cantering after his summer holidays.
So what do they do on their summer holidays? Just go to grass?
Go out to grass, yeah. Get weighed to make sure they're putting on weight, but not too much. Their feet done, and then they'll go on the walker as well later on in their holidays.
So from that early age, did you take an active interest in the training and what was going on?
I didn't take too much of an interest until a bit later on in life. I used to like to have a bet with my grandfather. He used to give me early prices, and then later on in life, when I was a sort of a teenager, I started to take more interest and saw how many winners my dad would churn out every day, and Peter Scudamore in the winners enclosure, and I suddenly started to get the bug from then onwards.
So I remember you hanging around the joint with your granddad, who was very well respected the local betting rings. What sort of memories do you have about the actual betting side of things?
Yeah, well, in those days, the idea that I went round with my grandfather round the pitches in the Southwest race courses, in those days, I think if you did 6 months with him and you were related, you could actually, in those days, take an over one day if you wanted to. So that was the idea behind that. But I think after I did my 6 months with him, they actually changed the rules. But I enjoyed doing that, and it's a different side to racing. Very important, the prices of horses. If you've got, as a jockey, you should know the prices of the horses. If you've got a 50-1 shot that goes off and goes 25 lengths clear in front, there's no need to worry about that horse as much as if it's a 6-4 favourite. So that's why we like to let our jockeys know whether a horse has been backed in the parade ring beforehand, or you know, if something's there's been money for a horse, then it is quite important to take note of it as a jockey.
Okay, so was there ever a consideration of seriously keeping the bookmaking business going as opposed to taking over the training?
Even though I went round with my grandfather, didn't really float my boat. I think my father would have loved to have taken over from him one day. He was quite fearless when he worked for my granddad in the betting shop, and I think he would either win a fortune or lose a fortune.
And did you ever get any good advice from your granddad about punting?
Yeah, there's only one winner, the bookmaker.
Okay, so now you're well established in Pond House in your own right. What are the best and worst things about training racehorses?
I think the best thing is about being in the yard, every day running up the yard and seeing the horses being exercised and keeping them happy and healthy. Obviously, the worst thing about racing is when you lose a horse. No one wants to see that, and unfortunately, it's the downside of our sport. But at the same time, horses can get killed out in the field, and that is actually the most dangerous place for them.
Okay, so as far as owners and horses go, what comes first, the owner or the horse, or the other way around, or obviously does it vary?
Well, it's a good question, but you know, if you keep your horse happy and healthy, then he'll run to the best of his ability, which is what the owner and the trainer wants. So, you know, keep the horse happy, and I'm sure he'll keep the owner happy.
So when you get a new horse in the yard, how soon do you know if you've suddenly got a really good one there?
Well, it depends on what type of horse you've got. It takes longer when you've got an unraced horse that's never run in his life. He's a complete and utter baby, and so you have to educate them. So it would be longer than if you've got a horse that maybe you bought from France or something like that. Then you have a certain level of form that you know the horse has run to already, and then maybe he's strengthened up over the summer, and you know, some of the lads or girls ride them. They think that they go well. But I always say that speed is for on the flat. You have to stay well over jumps. So some of our best horses have been the slowest ones at home, in all honesty. And at the end of the day, you have to have a horse that wants to do it for you. And that's one of the main ingredients.
Okay. Your dad was a pioneer. He advanced racehorse training way beyond what most other people were doing at the time. Has it reached a limit, or is there still a further that it can go, you know, in advance for the sort of science and things of training?
Well, you still, you know, you're always looking to tweak things and try and improve things. What my dad did, it was such a big step. I don't think there'll be another massive improvement like he did with the fitness and the research, and try and take the guesswork out of it. But I'm sure there are ways that we can tweak our training methods, and we're always looking for that. And if you can get an extra 1% out of your horse, then there's improvement there to be had.
All right.
Used to be famous for enjoying the odd tilt at the ring, and used to get the bookmakers running for cover. Is there still a little bit of enjoyment trying to do something like that, or have you is that a thing of the past now?
Well, it's like anything in life, times are different. It's lovely, I think, placing horses in the right race where you think they're going to win, and getting the right handicap mark. It's not like it was years ago, because years ago, in those days, my father was so far ahead that basically it was like going to a cash point machine and getting money out when the money was down years ago. So everyone likes a bet. We still have the odd bet, but times have changed a fair bit since his prolific winning days.
So how much form study goes into the running of the yard and placing your horses? Have you got somebody to do that for you, or do you delve into the form book yourself?
Well, we all do that in the office, and when you have the best horse in the race, it's easy because everyone wants to avoid you. So the art of a big art of training is placing your horses in the right race. So the girls in the office, we will mark down the horses that we basically are most worried about, and the girls in the office will ring round just before decoration time and find out if they're running or if they're going elsewhere, and then suddenly what might look a difficult race at the 5-day stage then suddenly looks a lot easier at the overnight stage, and then we have to make the right decision.
So for a good horse, how many races in advance would you be planning that campaign?
Good horses place themselves a lot of the time. You know, you'd be looking, you're looking at the big festivals in the spring already. You were at the back end of last season. There are horses that you have a lot of hope for. Some disappoint you, and then there are always the surprise packages in the yard that sort of go under the radar a little bit, and you don't have that bigger plans for them, and then suddenly halfway through the season you have to rethink.
Right, then your first foray into training was training points and pointers in the yard just up the road. Are you still interested and involved in point-to-points?
I try and go to a few point-to-points each season. I think it's a great grounding for horses, trainers, jockeys, a very important part of National Hunt racing. It was great grounding for me as a jockey. I had some fantastic times, and unfortunately I wasn't bred right at 6'5", so I'd love to have been a jockey full-time, but it wasn't meant to be. But then the training, I trained for 6 years, point to pointing, great experience before I took over from my father.
And you did confide to me, sorry, you confided now, because I spilt the beans, that you'd rather have been a jockey than a trainer had you been a little bit more suited physically. Is that true?
Yeah, jockey's life is, obviously you got the injuries, but a great life. And yeah, you know, it's a short life, but a great one whilst it lasts.
Okay.
Yeah, just trying to get a little bit faster, mate. Run a bit of chalk, this is covered to down a bit, okay?
Right, now. Right, bit fresh. Bit fresh. Right, Bobby.
Yeah, it's just a bit bad, isn't it?
Okay.
Famously remember that your father was very adverse to anything green at the racecourse. So if you plotted one up and you were going to have a nice little tickle and the owners turned up in a green jumper, would that upset you?
No, I wouldn't be against green. I remember years ago Dad had a odds on shot running, and Peter Scudamore came out with his brand new saddle, which was green. And the odds on favourite Julie got beat, and can't repeat the words, but basically my father told Peter Scudamore that he didn't want to see the saddle again, and I don't think he ever did see that green saddle again. Came out with a new one for the next race, and it Julie went in. So no, I'm not against green, and I'm not really that superstitious. You know, probably like to keep the TV interviews for after the race, not before the race, really.
There's quite a lot of talk about too much, too little racing. What are your opinions on racing as it currently is, and how can it be improved, etc.?
Well, everything can be improved, and racing can definitely be improved. The obvious one that everyone goes on about is prize money. I'm also a believer that there's too much racing. National Hunt Racing can't have a month's break at some point in the year when the flat racing is going on, so the bookmakers have the flat racing to get the punters into the shops. It's a great, you know, people need a break, horses need a break, and you come back refreshed, excited. Nowadays it does seem to just roll on. I always say if the Premiership football can have a break, then why can't racing have a break? You ask anyone involved in the training side of racing, they would say that, but it's here now, and I would say it's probably here to stay. We do need to try and get younger people into racing. It's very difficult, that, because there's so much choice nowadays, but it's something that we are working at and we still need to keep working at. So there's lots of areas, and we have to keep fighting our corner for our sport, because like I say, there's so many other sports and choices out there.
And in the summer, are the going reports more accurate these days than they used to be for plotting horses?
I think they've done a very good job this summer. Watering the courses and good going descriptions, so I think it's improved a lot from what it was years ago.
So would you say you're a fan of summer racing, having said what you just said, or do you campaign horses on it because it's there but you wouldn't mind if it was gone?
I definitely think there's a place for it. Number one, I don't think it should be called summer racing, because it was supposed to be for the smaller person when it first started, but obviously, as we know, that's not the case nowadays. We don't call racing in the winter racing. So it's people frowned upon summer jumping as being a poorer class. But I think you ask anyone nowadays, it's very hard to win in the summer or the winter. There is a place for it, but there still is a place for a break at some point in the year.
So when it keeps moving, you just keep pushing down on there, and that'd be your balance, right? Because sometimes when it goes back, your hands go back like that, so you just keep pressing down like that.
We go real slowly to start with, and then we'll get a bit quick.
Not going to go for a jump, is it?
Now we're into being silent. This is when we get payback.
Not too far, he said. Not too far. Bloody hell. Oh, my cocker.
He didn't do a good interview with me, so I'm going to put it really quick.
Not too far.
Hi, it's Warren. I think we'll stop now.
I'll do a Frankie.
Take both feet out at the same time.
Yeah,
and then. Download the Star Sports app from the App Store or Google Play. All of the Star Sports markets, including InPlay, all easily accessible from your phone or tablet. BeGambleAware.org. Over 18 only.